And Father, again, as we stand before you, we come checking in. We're checking in with heaven. We're asking that you open up your gates. Yes. Open up the dimensional doors, those rifts, Father, that we may be one. Open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, and our hearts to receive. As we come through the blood of the Lamb, asking for your forgiveness, your mercies and grace, repenting for the foolish things that we have thought, said, did, and acted upon. Heal us with your stripes, fill us with your spirit. As we take dominion in the name of Jesus, and everybody repeat after me, Holy Father, I take my dominion, authority, and power that's been granted to me through inheritance and a covenant child. And I bind every power of darkness, blind, bind, mute, and deaf, every spirit of darkness that's under the authority of Satan's kingdom. And I command those spirits to loose me, to leave me, spirit, soul, body, mind, thoughts, emotions, imaginations, sickness, disease, infirmities, right now, out of my body, out of my mind, out of my soul, and out of my spirit. Go right now to the pit in the name of Jesus. I break and loose myself from every lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, pride of life. And I cast those spirits and every emotional attachment spirit from me to the pit in the name of Jesus. I lift my hands in surrender and I ask that you'll fill me. Fill me. Fill me. Fill me till I'm one with you. Heart to heart. Will to will. Mind to mind. In Jesus' name. Yes. Now in the name of Jesus, I command all giants to be removed from the path of righteousness that he has established for us. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Praise be to God. Would you turn your Bible and turn to Isaiah 9? Isaiah 9. Turn to your neighbor, slap your neighbor and tell him, don't miss this. Isaiah 9, is everybody there? In verse 6, let's read this together. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And now of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. In other words, it's eternal. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. From that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And this is where Jesus came into the natural realm. The Eternal One would come as a man through the womb of a man called woman. And open a dimensional door or a rift for eternal communication and access to his people. I'm going to go back a little bit because some of you weren't here for Sunday, so we are in a dimensional age, and there's a three-dimensional. And one of the things that happens in this dimensional age is God opens the doors. And these dimensional doors, and that's what I want to talk about tonight, dimensional doors. And so I want to encourage you to get the first tape, so that you can understand where we're going. But it really isn't that difficult. The Word tells us that the Father, the Word, and the Spirit were one in the eternal realm. And when Jesus came, so we have the three that became one in the eternal realm. And the temporary realm was the one that became three. That's why he was here with the blood, water, and spirit. And in this he came to fulfill the things that were spoken and prophesied in the Old Testament. And bring forth and manufacture his own blood so that man could be reconciled back to God. Because the Bible says that the sins have separated from a relationship with the Lord. It's the presence of evil. So as we repent for our sins, our transgressions or iniquities, there is reconciliation available. And in this, before reconciliation could even be available, true reconciliation, the dimensional barriers had to be broke so that man could have relationship with the eternal realm and the eternal realm with man. So Jesus had to put on flesh. The eternal one who was three in one came to be one of three, or one in three. So he put on flesh. The only way that he can access this realm to make reconciliation is to come just as any other man, except for he was conceived by the Holy Spirit. He was the seed that was conceived by a woman of the natural, but it was the Spirit of God who was the seed, so that God-man could come into this realm, produce his own blood, and leave his spirit in this side. And there was something that he had to do, and he had to breach the barriers of the dimensional walls, open up ports for access, so man could have access home, and home could have access with man. Go to Matthew 3. Dimensional doors. So we are in an age of a dimensional age, and in this age, Jesus came as the fullness of truth and grace. He came with the plan to reconcile man with God and God with man. In Matthew chapter 3, is everybody there? In verse 16, it says, when he, Jesus, had been baptized, he came up immediately from the water. And behold, the what? Heavens were what? Open to him. I said him, nobody else. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Now I want you to understand something, because this is where the first time the Trinity was revealed in this realm. But it wasn't manifested in the area where all three were here, except for the Father's voice was here, the Spirit was here, and the Son was here. In other words, the Father, the Word, and the Spirit were in this natural realm for the first time. All three. Does everybody got it? One, the three that became one, and the one that became what? Three. So this was the first time that open door, there was an established communication, because there was an inheritance of dominion, power, and authority granted, because the Spirit was reconciling, returning Jesus' inheritance, who he was. So he was restored when the Spirit came upon him. Are you listening? He was restored as God. He was the God-man, but now he was God in this realm. So now what had happened was established communication and inheritance of power, dominion, and authority. Go to Matthew 17. So that was actually, not only was he came, remember, he came through the womb first, through the natural. And then there was communication and reconciliation with the Father as an open dimensional realm for him. So this is the first time now that this happened, the first door in Matthew 17. Is everybody there? In verse 1, now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. So how many were there? Three. Moses, Elijah, and who? Jesus. But he was not the Jesus that they were accustomed to. He was a different person. He wasn't the person they were accustomed to. They saw him as God. And then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make here three what? Tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And while he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased. Hear him. Hear him. So everybody got it? This is the second time a dimensional barrier was broke and a dimensional wall door was opened for Jesus. Does everybody got it? Good. Matthew 27. There are three dimensions. There's a first, second, and third dimension, and we talked about this already Sunday. So Jesus was fulfilling and had to fulfill the door to be opened for every dimension. He has now opened the first two dimensions and about to open the third. In Matthew 27 and verse 45, it says, now from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness all over the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? And some of those who stood there, when they heard that, said, this man is calling for Elijah. Immediately one of them ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on the reed, and offered it to him to drink. The rest said, let him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come to save him. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice, and yield up his spirit. Then behold, the veil of the temple was what? Torn in two from top to bottom. Significance from top to bottom, not from bottom to top. And the earth did what? Quaked. And the rocks were what? Split. And the graves were open. And many of the bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. This was the third door that was opened. It was the one where God would be reconciled to man. Now, Jesus opened the first two-dimensional doors. When the Spirit came, and you heard, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Because there was a reestablishment with the Father and communication and inheritance restored with dominion, power, and authority. The next one was his change. Because two showed up. It's Moses and Elijah and representation of the second heaven. But in that, there was that tearing through. The third one. Now understand, this was opened up for man. The first one was for Jesus. The second one was for his disciples that were there. And the third one was for anyone who would follow him and obey him. Is everybody okay? Let's go a little further on this. In verse 54, so when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the what? Earthquake and the things that had happened, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. And many women who followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him, were there looking on him afar, among whom were Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James and Joaz, and the mother of Zebedee's sons. Now, when evening had come, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who himself had also become a disciple of Jesus. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be given to him. When Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his new tomb, which he had hewn out of rocks. And he rolled a large stone against the door of the tomb and departed. On the next day, which followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees gathered together to Pilate, saying, sir, we remember while he was still alive how that deceiver said, after 3 days I will rise. Therefore command that the tomb be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say to the people, he has risen from the dead, so the last deception will be worse than the first. Pilate said to them, you have a guard. Go your way. Make it as secure as you know how. So they went and made the tomb secure, sealing the stone and setting the guard. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a what? Great earthquake. For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. And his countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. They couldn't move, man. They froze. But the angel answered and said to the woman, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus, whom was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. And he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee, that you will see him. Behold, I have told you. So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples the word. Now this is powerful because this is a dimensional rift or tear or opening that God did. And many times we don't even realize, because we are in this realm, we think so many, oh, it's just another storm, or it's whatever. But every time that a rift was ripped open, there was an earthquake. Every time a dimensional door was opened, there was an earthquake. Every time. And sometimes there's things that are happening right now that, you know, the carnal man is going to justify by the shifts in the earth, by this, that, whatever. And I'm not saying that those things are not happening. But I hear earthquakes and I think dimensional rifts, open doors. Why? Because there's battles going on right now. Tremendous battles going on. And every time it's time and getting closer to elections and so forth, government officials, there is spiritual fights going on that are tremendous to prevent the powers of darkness from taking position in political arenas. But we know that even in the fight, that prophecy must be fulfilled regardless of what. Hallelujah. Go to Revelation chapter 3. It doesn't mean that we don't stop fighting, because things would be worse if we did. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 7. Is everybody there? Everybody okay? Dimensional doors. And the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things says he who is holy, he who is true, He who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. Because he's the only one that can open it, can't he? He's the only one that can open up dimensional rifts and open up dimensional doors. I know your works. See, I have set before you a what? Open door. And no one can shut it. For you have a little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name. Little strength. Hello? Kept my word and have not denied my name. What did he do? He opened a door for them. What kind of door? A dimensional door. Something where he is going to bring to his people. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, or say that they are believers or not, but lie indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which will come upon the whole world to test those who are on the earth. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Open door. Oh, hallelujah. Let's go a little further. Jesus says something very important. Go to verse 18. He says, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in fire, things that have been tried and pure, that you may be rich in white garments, that you may be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, and therefore be zealous and repent. In other words, get on fire. Behold, I stand at the what? The door. And knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Another open door. Revelation 4. In verse 1. I believe the whole book of Revelation is a dimensional door that opened. Angels were coming back and forth to John. And this went on for days. Off and on, off and on, off and on. An angel would come appear to John, and even John would eventually see the Lord many times over and over, because these dimensional doors that had opened to him to reveal. That's why it's called the Book of Revelation, revealing. Revelation, knowledge. There was so much to be said that it couldn't all be written down and understood. It had to be implemented by pictures, vision. Because God speaks more in vision than just word. In verse 1, and after these things I looked, and behold, a what? A door standing open in heaven. Where? Heaven, the eternal realm. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here. And I will show you what? Things which must take place after this. Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, at the throne seat in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he who sat there was like a jasper and sardius stone in appearance, and there was a rainbow around the throne in appearance like an emerald. And around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads. And from the throne proceeded lightning and thunderings and voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Before the throne there was a sea of glass like crystal, and in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures full of eyes in front and back. The first living creature was like a lion, the second living creature was like a calf, the third living creature had a face of a man, and the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within, and they did not rest day or night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him. They what? Worship him who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by you they exist and were created." And I really truly believe that the purpose of the continuous worship that is in the eternal realms is to maintain the whole universe. Because everything is maintained by the presence of God. Does everybody get this? It's the presence of God that holds everything together, so there had to be continuous worship. And in this continuous worship, one of the things that John was able to access or go through this dimensional door, because worship was continuous. And while John was there, he would see continuous worship, but he went right to the throne room of God. What did he say first? He said he saw a door open. In other words, that was the invitation. See, there is a place where we go through, even through the chambers of the tabernacle. You go through the outer court and the holy place. But to get to the most holy place, you are invited in. You're invited. So there's that place where God sees that you have come to a total end of yourself, and that your thirst and hunger for him is beyond what can be handled now in the holy place, and only can be fulfilled in the most holy place. When he sees you reach that arena, he opens and invites you in. Unfortunately, many believers will never have that. They will never experience it until they give their last breath, because they've never fought for the presence of God. They've never given. The Bible says, "Bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me." And the Word says, "Seek him with all of your heart, all of your mind, all of your soul." That means you fight until you see him. You fight just like Jacob fought with the angel of the Lord. He fought until he got blessed and his name changed. Hallelujah. Is everybody okay? Romans 8. Worship. Worship changes the atmosphere. Worship. That's why some people wonder why they're still fleshly. They're going to 16 Bible studies a week, but they haven't fought for the presence of God yet. And they wonder why the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. They wonder why they're still struggling with the flesh. They wonder why they're still going back and touching the things they're not supposed to. No power. They've become religious. But I love the Lord. Hey, the Bible says the demons tremble in belief too, you know. Glory, Romans 8. verse 14, I think. Yes, that's the one. Let's read this together. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are what? Sons of God. Sons of God. Now in the Old Testament, sons of God were known as angels. In the New Testament, we are known as sons of God. Isn't that incredible? Think about it. Why? Because the Bible says that you and I, when we leave this place, are going to be like angels. In fact, the Bible even says that you and I are a little bit lower than angels. Let me tell you, the angels desire to know what you know. God doesn't defend the angels. He defends the redeemed. He utilizes the angels to work on your behalf. Is everybody okay? For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father, which means daddy. See, some people have never reached that. They don't acknowledge him as dad. They only know him as God. They only know him as the Son of God. They know him as Savior. They know him as Lord. They know him as provider, deliverer, and healer, but they don't know him as dad. That's relationship. He is my dad most and far most of everything. He is now my dad more than he is my God. Because I'm his son. Does everybody got it? I'm his son, and he's my father. He loves me, and I love him. And everything he owns is mine. And everything I own is his. Because I'm a covenant child of the Most High God. So for covenant, I acknowledge him as God. See, so many times people, when they begin to fall away from the Lord, they acknowledge him as God. Ooh. Because they've fallen away from sonship or daughtership. Now they've gone into God's own instead of Father's own. Jesus was close. See, the closer you are to him, the more you know him as dad. Let's go a little further. In verse 16. And the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we also may be glorified together. For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed where? In us. So you're going through stuff. Praise God. Welcome to the earth. Verse 19, for the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. So even creation is waiting for you to get revealed. God's creation is desiring to turn itself over to me and you. It's waiting. Verse 20, for the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the what? Bondage of corruption and to the glorious liberty of the children of God. In other words, even creation right now is waiting for me and you to be completely redeemed in the fullness of our redemption with glorified bodies to be turned over to us. Because it's been under the rule of Satan's kingdom of corruption. God's creation desires to be turned over and back to a state of righteousness and righteous rule. Because right now, rule is death. His rule is life. And verse 22, for we know that the what? whole creation groan and labors with birth pangs together until what? Until now. Until now. So we who are led by the Spirit are known as sons of God. So we must stay led by the Spirit, not by the flesh. And in this, by being led by the Spirit, there are things that God is going to impart in me and you. And in these groanings that we're seeing and we're hearing, not only do we groan, but we know that the earth is growing. That's why I truly believe that there's a lot of earthquakes. There's more earthquakes because there's dimensional rifts that are opening up also. Because there's battles going on. Battles. Turn to Matthew 24. Matthew 24. Yes, God's creation wants to be cut loose of this bondage. 24 and verse 3. Now as he, Jesus, sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?" And Jesus answered and said, "Take heed that no one what deceives you, for many will come in my name saying I am a Christian or Christ and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom." And that word nation means ethnic groups. And there will be what? Famines, pestilence, and what? Earthquakes in various places. And these are the beginning of sorrows. Again, we are in the beginning of sorrows. The ruling spirit is known as Pharaoh. And we are pressing through and close. You'll see more things happen. And we're going to press through from this point into the first of tribulation, which will be 3.5 years, where the spirit of Antichrist will reign. And then the second part of the 3.5 years of tribulation, Satan will reign. And in this we see that this is known as the beginning of birth pangs. There'll be more sorrows, more earthquakes. And so does anybody know that there's a lot more earthquakes? How about 930-something tornadoes in 3 months or 2 months, whatever it is? How about all of these earthquakes? We've had more now than in total amounts of all history. More earthquakes. We've had 7 volcanoes in the last couple months. I mean, all kinds of things are happening. Shaking, groaning, earthquakes, famines, all kinds of things that are happening. More now than ever. And again, I truly believe that one of the things that's escalating is worship. Worship. There is more worship on this earth than there ever has been to God. More. It's all about worship. Why? Because worship opens a dimensional barrier. It opens. Why? Because we get to that place and then he invites us in. So there's more praise and worship going from all over the globe than ever. That's why you're hearing about more earthquakes. Because earthquakes are also associated with dimensional rifts or tears. Or openings, because God is moving. What's he move on? He moves on the praises of his people. He moves on the praises of his people. That's why there's a tremendous amount of music. Music has changed. Think of how it's changed in the last 2 years. Man, when I became a Christian, I don't know about all this stuff. Man, they were still holding on to the cross. They're still pulling wood out of them from all the splinters. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff going on. You know, everybody was still an idiot. We were deceived, spiritually blinded. The old rugged cross was a big hit. I mean, I thank God for all of them, but, you know, we're to leave the cross now. We came from the cross. We're to be led by the Spirit now. Because the cross was a representation of an open rift that God was going to do. And that cross that stands there, everywhere you go, you see a cross. You can thank him for opening that dimensional rift for me and you to have access back and forth. It's a reminder of what he's done. It's a reminder. But you and I were birthed from the cross now. I'm not running back to the cross. The shadow of the cross oversees me. Now I'm walking with the person from the cross, his spirit. Hallelujah. Go to Matthew 25. Verse 1. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Virgins are believers. Why? Because they were washed by the blood. 5 of them were wise and 5 stupid. Oh, foolish. 5 were spirit-filled and 5 were religious. And those who were foolish took their lamps and took no what? Oil with them. Well, how do you get oil? You praise and worship. Be filled not with wine, but filled with the Holy Spirit. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Hallelujah. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him." And they all the virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered and said, "Nope. Lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourself." You must pay the price for your own oil. Nobody else can pay the price for you. You must pay the price for the oil. And that price is to deny yourself and worship. And while they went out to buy, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him to the wedding. And what happened? A door was shut. Oh, I mean, the ones that had the oil, the door opened to. Oh. But the ones that didn't, they weren't willing to pay the price. Oh, they could quote the scriptures and tell you what page number it was all on. They did their rituals. They weren't willing to fight for the presence of God and stay filled. And after the other virgins came also saying, "Lord, Lord, open the door to us." And he answered and said to them, "Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you." And he answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, I don't know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." Wise virgins stayed filled by praise and worship. In John chapter 4, dimensional doors. So when you hear these earthquakes, you can think a little bit differently now. When you hear those thunders and lightnings, you can think a little bit different. There's a war going on in the atmosphere, in the spirit realm that you have not seen. John chapter 4. Is everybody there? In verse 19. Then the woman said to Jesus, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such who worship him." So, in other words, God is willing to open a dimensional door to get to you. He is seeking to open. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and what? Truth. Worship, spirit and truth. That praise will open the dimensional barriers. The word says, in the last days God will pour out his spirit upon all flesh. And their sons and daughters shall prophesy. They'll have dreams and have visions. Why? Because God's pouring out his spirit. He's speaking to us in many ways. In many different ways. Go to 1 Peter chapter 2. Is everybody okay? 1 Peter chapter 2. Last night I had a dream. And my first part of my dream was with a group of people, and there was things going on and so forth. And people, I think, were discussing what to do and whatever. And I sensed myself step back. And the next thing I found myself was floating. And people were trying to do all kinds of stuff, and I thought, they're so busy trying to think in one realm that who am I? And I began to look at things differently. And as I floated up and I was trying to get to one place to another, and I went through a wall. And the next thing I found myself with, there was a prison there of bars. And on the other side, it was a dark room. And I went through the bars. And I went into this dark room. And all of a sudden, I can sense fear come on me. And I knew that something wasn't right. And out of this wall, in fact, it almost looked like a dungeon or a cave. Out of this wall came this demon. It came right from the wall. And he had red eyes. And in the shape of a body. And he started to come at me. And we were fighting. And we were fighting with the arms. And every time I swung, I was saying, in the name of Jesus. But I must have been laying on my face in this dream. Because I was trying to say, in the name of Jesus. And I couldn't get the full name out. And I was fighting. We were fighting fast. And he was trying to get me. And I didn't want to touch. I didn't want him to touch me. And he looked like mud, like a person with mud all over. There was no face. I mean, there was a form of face. All there was red eyes, but it was like mud, and he was slinging mud and trying to fight me. And finally, in the name of Jesus, so I woke up, and man, I finished the fight. And I kicked him out of my room and did all the other warfare, and I went back to sleep. And I realized today that he was a mud-slinging demon. And a mud-slinging demon is one that says things out of the mouth and swings mud on people. And that's what the devil wants. And I'm telling you, he looked just like a part of the wall. You couldn't even tell he was there. All of a sudden, he just came out, wham, and attacked me. He was a mud-slinging demon, trying to spew on me his mud. Now, I didn't read a letter I got today. I got a letter from somebody from jail. And my wife saw it and read it. It was from a guy that had been here. And he said something about mud. What was it? He talked about, he sent me a letter to encourage me. He said, even though people fall back into the mud. And Kate told me that when I was leaving the house, I said, whoa, that's wild, because I just had that mud-slinging demon fight last night. And it's a year where people are saying things and they're throwing mud on everybody. And it's a demon that must be stopped because it causes division, strife, and offense. And I realized it was interfering with those dimensional walls opening up. Because, see, you can do praise and worship, but if you have offense towards someone, You're going to praise and worship till you die, until you forgive and bless. That mud-slinging demon was right on that wall. I'm telling you, I didn't know he was there. But I floated right through those bars. And when I got in that room, I can sense fear. And then all of a sudden, these two eyes popped out, and this body come out, started swinging at me. And we were fighting. But I was preventing him from not touching me. I didn't want him to touch me. And only in the name of Jesus was I able to overcome him. Amen? Man, but I enjoyed the floating around and getting through stuff, man. I like that. Yeah, man. That was fun. Praise God. I need to go back to sleep again. 1 Peter chapter 2. In verse 1. Is everybody with me? Come on, let's read it. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil mudslinging, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Coming to him as a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the Scripture, "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious, but those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone and a stone of stumbling, a rock of what? Offense. They stumble being disobedient to the word to which they also were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the what? Praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now a people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Wow. Royal priesthood. The sacrifice of praise. The sacrifice of denying yourself. The desire for the dimensional walls to open so the revelations can come. Go to 1 Timothy 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Glory. Verse 1. Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to what? Deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Let me share something with you. There are so many believers that are still indulging themselves in secular music. It is called temporary music. Or no, it's called contemporary because it puts you in a temporary state of being. When you find yourself going back to music, you have fallen backwards. If you've gone back to the music of the old, the carnal, oh, but it feels good. What feels good is the flesh. What you've done is just left the chamber and gone into the outer court. So the more that you feed yourself on secular music, the more you become flesh. You can't fake God out. Well, it's only music. Let me tell you who's a praise and worship leader. And he has his own church. He's called Lucifer, Satan, the devil, the deceiver, the manipulator, the liar, the father of lies. So if you're listening to his music, you are deceived. But I'm a believer. You cannot follow the Lord by listening to demonic music. It's impossible. It will puff your soul up, build your flesh up, and quench your spirit. Hello. They fall, taking heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. You'll have your own desires run your life instead of the desires of the Lord. You'll go backwards instead of forward. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. They will be deceived. That's how people backslide. They compromise, they get complacent, and they get lazy. Hello? Doctrines of demons. See, what is happening right now to the Spirit of God is He's creating more praise, more earthquakes, more rifts, more revelations, more of Jesus, and more souls. I'm going to say that again. More praise, more quakes, more rifts, more revelations, more Jesus, more souls. 2 Peter chapter 2. Dimensional doors. Hallelujah. Man, you're all pretty quiet tonight. Hopefully you're thinking about all that secular music you're about to throw out. And those videos and all the other stuff. Yes, I've been a believer 30 years. I don't have any problem listening to that music, obviously. You haven't looked in the mirror lately either. Who's in your mirror? 2 Peter chapter 2. Come on, it's time to get real. Amen? That's what it's about. I know you didn't come here to hear fairy tales. You didn't here to get your soul puffed up. You came here to get your flesh crucified and your spirit strong. God says He chastens those He loves. So don't let guilt and condemnation get you. Let conviction change you. Verse 18. Oh, let's start somewhere here. Hold on. Oh, okay, let's start at 15. They have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. But he was rebuked for his iniquity. A dumb donkey speaking with a man's voice restrained the madness of the prophet. He wouldn't listen to God, but he listened to a donkey. These are wells without water, clouds carried by tempests, for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. In other words, these are individuals that escaped error once already. But they begin to come in agreement with the voice of the stranger. They became compromised, complacency, lazy, didn't stay filled with the Spirit. The I-know-it-all syndrome. Verse 19, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of what? Corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they again entangle in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. In other words, things can get worse. Why? Because the devil knows he's got you, and he knows that you know too much truth, so he's going to double up on you to kill you and hope to wipe you out before he can do any more damage to his kingdom. Slaves of corruption and bondage. That's why this dimension, which is associated with slavery and bondage, must be destroyed. It has to be destroyed. But before it's destroyed, God is going to do a great, mighty work. Now, you know, the Lord allows, He allows the powers of darkness to fulfill His deeds, certain things that must be accomplished. He doesn't want this earth to last forever. Has everybody got it? You don't want to live in this state of being forever. Goodness. You have a hard enough time now, man. God wiped out everyone with Noah, right? Noah was the only one that, in his family that made it through the flood. And he wiped everything out. And then God wanted to destroy the earth again with everybody in it. And Moses interceded. Or everybody would have been gone again. And then Jesus interceded. And he came down, came through the human port to create a port, a way of escape. Again, the rapture. Remember we talked about the rapture. It's going to be earthquakes and a shout and a trumpet. Why? Because the third dimension is going to collide with the first dimension. And poof, something's going to, a rift is going to open up, a tear, and the body of Christ is going to be removed. And a woe to them who are on the earth. Because there won't be any more removal until we come back. Let's go to Ephesians 5. I got more, but we're going to close here. So when you hear thunderings and lightnings and earthquakes, it's not God bowling. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 11. And have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather what? Expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret, but all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but what? Wise. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the what? Holy Spirit. Be a wise virgin, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus, submitting to one another in the fear or reverence of God. You are the light. You are the salt. You are the one that can change the atmosphere. You change the atmosphere and create a dimensional rift. By your praise. By your submission. You know, things happen quicker. You don't realize it. But things happen quicker when you're in a state of praise and worship. Because you're no longer bound by time and God's moving quicker on your behalf. It's when you come out of that arena of the walking in the flesh that things seem to drag. Things are forever. That's the flesh. But in the spirit, there's no loneliness, there's no drag. There's joy, peace, and righteousness in the Holy Spirit. Amen. Know where you are now. You know, the Old Testament of the commandment of God, the law, tells you what you're not. The New Testament of the covenant, the ministry of the Spirit, tells you who you are. So the more you stay away from the presence of God, the more you hear what you're not. The more you stay in the presence of God, the more you hear who you are. There is a difference. Don't let the devil deceive you. Stay in fellowship, praise and worship. then you won't have to go back to what you're not and what you want to be. You'll stay in who you are. And you'll follow through with boldness. And you'll do Holy Ghost karate on demons. You'll change the atmospheres. You'll catch devils trying to steal from you, and you'll command them to return what they stole. There's a difference in walking in the Spirit, living in the Spirit, and walking in the flesh. I want to see the move of God, and I want to be in it. I don't want to miss what He's doing. And I know you don't either. So let's fight for the presence of God. We'll talk more about this later. To God be the glory. Amen. Let's lift our hands to heaven and thank Him. Father, we thank You for Your word. Hallelujah. We submit to You all things. Sever the old, drink the new, and go forward. More praise, more quakes, more rifts opening. Yes. More revelations, more of Jesus, and more souls in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Be blessed.